You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Let's have a look at a set of results from a JSE-listed company, a retailer. Its name is The Spar Group. And with me now is the new CEO of Spar, and that's Brett Botten. I'm just looking back at the year and what you've inherited, Brett. It's a great company, and I enjoyed speaking to your predecessor enormously. But if you look back at March of last year, when everyone was stocking up ahead of lockdown, your numbers went through the roof. And over that year, there must have been some incredible changes for you to analyse. Tell me about that year, if you would, and also, of course, the 6 months that we're speaking about.
Sure. Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah, you're right. You know, I think looking back at that time last year, I was in a big distribution centre based in Johannesburg in South Rand. And, when this pandemic was finding its way to South Africa, obviously we were all extremely concerned. A lot of unknown anxiety was abound. And, concerned about what it would mean for our business. We did what we could, took the precautions that we could, tried to set up the protocols as best we could. And then we had this huge, as you said, spike or surge in demand in March as people loaded their pantries in advance of this lockdown that was coming our way. The disruption of initially in March and April and May, we saw huge sales growth through our distribution centers and our retail outlets as people in lockdown were basically shopped locally where our stores are based in the communities close to their homes where they were either not working or not at school. So we saw really, really good demand coming through at that time. Obviously, we were impacted negatively by liquor, which was shut down, and cigarettes, which we couldn't sell, as well as ingredients and foods going into our home meal replacement, our HMR sections, as we call them. At that time, too, we had the building materials stores closed for about 5 or 6 weeks. So that was obviously an issue for us to deal with. And at that time, we needed to assist our retailers with what we called a lifeboat, where we froze the credit arrangements with them because they obviously couldn't trade. So they couldn't pay us for the stock. That was the money that was owed to us, but we froze that. And then we emerged from that initial hard lockdown. They started to grow slowly, and then we saw a massive surge in demand and in sales growth towards the back end of last year, and that has continued. And in the period we're reporting now, we've reporting growth of 26% in our Build It division. So really, really strong growth, and that's structural. So we're seeing growth in cement of 30%. We're seeing timber, door openings, roof sheeting. Very strong growth. People are renovating their homes and extending their homes and building new homes. So very encouraging to see. And in fact, our Build It retailers, with that top line growth they're experiencing and their profitability because of sales mixes, they're really in a very strong position.
Do you think it's just a brief surge? Do you think it's a brief moment in time because people are suddenly saying, thank goodness we're getting vaccinated. Thank goodness we're not in lockdown anymore. And therefore we've got to go out and splurge because we've been saving over the last year. And therefore we want to do things. We want to renovate the house. We want to restock our bar or whatever it is. Or do you think that this is a long-term trend as the South African economy recovers?
Lindsay, I would like to say that I think that growth is sustainable, but I think, you know, logic tells me that it will taper off at some stage. I do, however, think that our Build It stores, because of the work we've been doing from an upgrade perspective and the remodels to the new look and feel, we call it Project B, I think that we will see good growth in that sector going forward, but I don't think that we can expect the growth to maintain at around the 25 to 30% mark.
Okay, let's have a look at the numbers now. Group turnover up 7.5% to just over 64 billion. Nice number. Operating profit up 28.1% to 1.7 billion also. Diluted headline earnings per share up 34.4%. Interim dividend per share, which will delight shareholders, up 40% to 280 cents per share. Let's start with Southern Africa, your home base, well, this particular Spar Group's home base. How did it perform?
It's quite a difficult period which we're reporting on because we've really touched on that huge demand, surge in demand in March last year. So we're up against that very, very strong base. The performance of the core business in that 7.5, we've got Spar growing at 0.8, the core business. Liquor's backwards at 7.8 because we lost 72 trading days in the period, about 40% of the total available days. So significant impact on our overall performance. The 0.8%, a little disappointing, but given that we over-indexed in the early stages of the lockdown last year, as I said, when people were shopping close to home, and that's where our stores are based. As lockdown started to ease into the back end of 2020 calendar year, people went back to the malls. We've seen that through the mall data we've seen, and we also see it through some of the apparel retailers delivering some good results. We did lose a bit of share to those big box retailers sort of towards the end of last year and into early part of calendar year 2021. In addition to that, our Topps brand, being the strongest liquor brand in South Africa, for many weeks last year, we were trading only 4 of the 7 days, and we weren't trading in Topps stores on weekends. So we consumers in the past might have gone to a Topps store on a weekend to buy a bottle of wine or a case of beers and shop next door at the Spa or Super Spa store. They no longer could do that because this Topps store was closed. So we certainly lost, in addition to losing the liquor trade, we lost some business in the spa stores at the same time. So I think those two factors played a huge role in our slightly disappointing sales performance. But having said that, we did perform admirably prior to that period. So it kind of was almost like a normalizing of the sales performance in that the reporting period that we're looking at now. So I suppose for us it's where we are now and looking forward for the remainder of the year as to what lies ahead. And you know, we have this year we've opened to date 43 new spa stores. Sorry, not new spa, across all of our formats.
Yeah.
We will open by the end of our financial year, which is September this year, we will have opened about 100, maybe just over 100. We've got about 170 store upgrades and remodels planned for the remainder of this period. So some really good indications of retailer confidence in the brand and investment coming through, which will obviously drive our top line growth, both our what we call organic, which is our like-for-like growth, and obviously then also our total growth.
Were these store upgrades and these new store openings planned? Obviously, the new store openings must have been planned, because you can't just say, right, go and open a shop over there, and up it comes. Yes. So they must have been planned. But the store upgrades, you obviously haven't been resting on your laurels. You've said to yourself, well, during this relatively quiet period and difficult period, let's plan for the future. Is that what you've done?
That's exactly right. But we have upgraded a number of stores in the period under review, but we've continued to drive the store upgrade plan, because Lindsay, for us, the number one measure for us at retail is our organic growth, the growth and success of our independent existing retailers. And the key driver of organic growth is a store remodel or upgrade. So it's every year it's like that for us, but through the COVID period, we just felt that it's the right time to drive that and make sure that when things normalize and when people emerge from this lockdown, various levels of lockdown, that our stores are well positioned to take advantage.
Very good. Okay, that's Spa Southern Africa. Let's have a look at Spa Ireland, and particularly Switzerland, because Switzerland used to be a problem child, but not so at the moment. Tell us about those two jurisdictions.
So you're right. Switzerland, I mean, for years, my predecessor, Graham, was hammered by the market as a result of the Swiss performance. And COVID arriving was a boon for us in Switzerland. Having said that, we had positioned ourselves well. So the Swiss business last year delivered an incredible result. And again, for the 6 months now, a really fantastic result. A nice mix of business there. We have a strong wholesale retail element. And then we also have a cash and carry business, which supplies the gastro business. They refer to it as that. It's restaurants and health guest houses and B&Bs and that kind of thing. Obviously, with the COVID lockdown restrictions imposed, the borders were closed. People shopped locally. They went into our spa stores. Many of them had never chosen spa as a convenience offering in the past. They went in. They liked what they saw, because we had done a lot of work on store upgrades and remodels on the back of some of our people from South Africa having gone across there. We introduced some concepts like our coffee concept, and that was well received by the consumers. So we saw a lot of support coming through from a convenience retail perspective. We also have during the period signed an agreement with Store Service AG, which adds 60 petrol forecourt convenience stores into our mix there, which is really positive for us. So we will leverage some nice growth opportunities going forward as we increase the supply of goods to those particular stores. So that's Switzerland. The Irish business, a very nice mix as well. We have Suburban Spa and Eurospa stores, and also some other retail banners. out in the villages and in the towns and in some of the suburban areas, which really received great support from consumers during lockdown, because they really had harsh lockdown restrictions in Ireland with their third wave. Obviously, the city centre stores, like in Dublin, were decimated because people were not going to the city centre. And then we've also got a strong food services arm in Ireland, food services and a cash and carry arm. So they supply restaurants and pubs which were closed. So as things normalise there, we believe we'll lose a bit of business in those suburban stores as people go about their daily lives as back to sort of where they were before COVID. But we will then gain some business in the city centre stores and also through the cash and carry and food service business as restaurants, pubs, hotels, guest houses open up again.
Briefly on Poland, you say the Polish business is focused on driving retailer loyalty and achieving break even. So it's still a loss-making operation.
Correct, Lindsay. So look, the opportunity in Poland is enormous. Unfortunately for all of us, and myself included, we haven't been able to travel. So we haven't been able to go and visit it.
Yeah.
We do have two South African executives on the ground there now. And that will make a big difference because they experience South African spa executives. So they understand the business model. They understand what makes it work. Their lockdowns in Poland have been very harsh. They've had the highest infection rate, one of the highest in Europe. So for instance, in the north of the country, where we're quite well represented with some of our bigger stores in malls, the malls were for all intents and purposes closed. So we really lost a lot of business in the north. In the south, which was about 150 or 160 odd spa retailers who were onboarded when we started with this business, their support of the spa wholesaler at that stage was literally zero. We've grown that to 25 or 26%. Which is significant. However, it's a bit behind where we had hoped to be at this stage, and that's what I mean when I say we focus on driving the loyalty of those retailers, because that for us is going to be the quickest route to break even, to get that figure to around the 35-40% loyalty mark, and hang on to the loyalty, which is higher in the stores in the north. And as restrictions are lifted, that will get us to the break even mark. We've launched 14 new stores in Poland this year, and we've got another 17 to launch for the remainder of the year. So again, quite a nice store rollout program in Poland as well.
I remember speaking to Graham O'Connor, your predecessor, about a year ago, and I said to him, COVID is obviously a ghastly pandemic, but on the other hand, it's played into your hands because people don't want to travel or are not allowed to travel because of lockdown restrictions and that sort of thing. And so they go to their local sort of stroke corner shop supermarket, and that was the spa. And he said, you're absolutely right, we have benefited from that. Now that the restrictions are lifted, do you think that people will go back to their old habits and say, go to the, you know, the big mega store, Pick and Pay or Checkers or Woolies, whatever it is, and spa will suffer market share wise?
That's for sure what has happened, and that's what I was referring to just now. So when restrictions started to lift towards, in let's take South Africa now, towards the middle part of last year, we saw that happening for sure.
Yeah.
But for us going forward now, I've got to think that when we look back on this period in a year or so, I think that most consumers will probably have gone back to what they used to do and where they used to shop. But it doesn't mean to say that we can rest on our laurels there. We need to make sure, and that's why we've got this store upgrade program in place and increased focusing on marketing activity. We've split our merchandise marketing function. We used to have one executive member looking after that in South Africa. We split that into two now, so we can focus on procurement and merchandise, and we can then focus also on the marketing side, because consumers are under pressure. We're all a bit concerned about their financial well-being, and they are looking for value. They are looking for promotions, innovative promotions. So we need to be in that space and playing our part there. Part of that exercise would also be the focus on private label, because it is a good opportunity for consumers to seek out a value product at a price which is more competitive than the proprietary brands. And we have a very good offering in the spa brand product. It's a trusted brand. And you'll see in our advert that we've grown private label at around about the 4% mark, which is well ahead of the rest of our business. So our focus will only ramp up in that space, because it is a great opportunity for us too.
Brett, thanks so much for your time this morning. Well done, and good luck with the new position. That's Brett Botten, who's the new CEO of the Spa Group, whose results were released earlier today. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.